Hi, I'm Daisy,
Hi, I'm David.
and we're the MSA Crusaders. Hello, and welcome to another episode of MSA Crusaders. David and I are here today with Lynn and her husband, Al. How are you guys
Yeah.
today?
How do?
We're going to start with asking you if you could share your journey with the MSA with us and how it's affected your daily life.
We'll start with AL diagnosis.
With Lynn, I'll be speaking for her as she's struggling with her voice these days. She was a very healthy person, yoga, 3, 4 times a week, bicycling almost every day, 10, 12 miles. And then she started having balance issues to the point that we sought medical treatment from our family physician. And we first thought possibly vestibular vertigo. The symptoms began to increase and became a little more detrimental. Fortunately, the family physician, as an intern or in residence, she had had an MSA patient. And although she didn't use that term with us, she guided us to Mayo to the neurology department up in Rochester to start the process of trying to diagnose what was truly wrong with Lynn. So from there, we spent almost a year in the process of diagnosis, going from doctor to doctor there in the neurology department, and finally settling on what is always the probable MSA diagnosis. It's obviously never quite definitive, as neurodegenerative disorders tend to look a lot alike each other.
Right.
Yeah, she had enough hallmarks of MSA.
Oh.
So the onset, from onset to that, there was a pretty rapid initial decline.
Yeah.
She went from biking like that to using a walker in the house to needing my assistance. Issues with voiding. Speech is a recent issue that has occurred. And just constantly needing my help, where fortunately I have a job where I can shift gears, and I had a very understanding boss who let me work from home, which I'm still doing, so I can assist Lynn in her day-to-day needs. And we have a nurse that comes in a couple times a week to help with showers and things like that.
Everybody that we've talked to has been really active.
Everyone, yeah.
Interesting. Well, I'm a proponent of all chronic illnesses are rooted in viruses, bacteria, or toxins. That's the problem. You can still have MSA, but it could be the cause could be one of three things. It can be Lyme disease, it can be Epstein-Barr, it can be mold toxins, it can be heavy metals. So you need to try to find out what your root cause is and then try to, and there's also a hormonal component to it. Basically, people that end up with Alzheimer's, especially women, it's a hormonal component.
Yeah.
So the medical community doesn't want to figure out what the root cause is because that would mean they have to treat each individual patient. You can still have MSA, but your root cause could be something different. So how can you get rid of some if you don't know what the root cause is?
Exactly. You
Yep.
get it over and over again. Well, yeah, like myself, I did yoga every single day. I walked the beach every day, and I was very active. I walked 11 flights of stairs 3 times a day.
Yeah.
It's just sad. It's really sad to see somebody that's so active because they're not even being able to walk anymore without assistance.
Well, we're from the school of thought that we're going to get better here, guys. So it takes just one, and then it takes one, and then the rest will follow.
That's
You
true.
That's
know,
true.
I'm reading a book now called The Field and the Power of Eight Intention Groups. The field is our shared field of energy, and we imprint on it. So if you get better, you imprint the field, and others can get well also by accessing the field. It's quantum physics. It's weird.
Well, tell me, with managing MSA, what lifestyle changes or adaptions have you found that have been beneficial for maintaining a better quality of life?
Lynn was very healthy to start with. So there was no tobacco, no alcohol, a little sugar, a little guilty of enjoying gluten, the bread and such, you know. But lifestyle changes of that, she's been very much following the Terry Walls protocol. Dr. Walls is out of the University of Iowa. And when she started this for herself, she was in a recumbent wheelchair with MS. And today, she pretty much considers herself in full remission. She walks, she can work normally. And a big part of that was constant, as vigorous as possible exercise, but a diet that included no tobacco, no alcohol, no gluten, no sugar, no processed foods.
No dairy.
No dairy. Thank you.
Oh, no dairy. I can't do that one.
That would be hard for me as well.
What can you have?
Well,
vegetables and meat.
Yeah, all the meat she wants, foods, all the vegetables. We live in a community that is unfortunately heavily invested in organic farming. So we're avoiding petrochemicals, processing, things like that. I do the cooking. So we use, you know, olive oil or coconut oil, things like that. Steaming, you know, anything we can to lead as healthy a diet for her. And then we are continually trying to maintain as much exercise for her as possible. We have a yoga room where yoga is not done anymore, but basic physical therapies using resistance bands and such are being done, including a vibration platform.
Yeah, I was part of this this Zoom call 2 days ago, and they were talking about this. Research backs it up, but I'm going to say it wrong, but like Moringa tea, antioxidants apparently is a major point of research for MSA, or not necessarily repairing the deterioration of the effects of MSA of the neurons, but keeping them insulated so that they can still make, you know, have, their pathways can still be talking. And there's this gentleman here that's had MSA for legit MSA for better part of 10 years now. And he's still, I mean, obviously he has some issues, but he's still in pretty good condition. I mean, considering 10 years with the MSA. So yeah, there's a lot of things out there that there's everybody studying, trying to wrap their hands around it.
Yeah. And you really have to have an open mind for these things to understand it. Lynn has a friend here in town who is massage and acupuncture therapy, and that helps her quite a bit. Another friend who, you know, mindfulness is a big deal. Just trying to
energy healer.
Yeah, an energy healer, just trying to do anything she can to calm her body, calm her mind, maintain a good outlook. And routine. The routine. And with her, one of the big things was foot neuropathy occurred. And we managed to combine essential oils that we put on there that have really, really calmed that down.
Is it worse at night, isn't it, Lynn? The neuropathy?
Is it worse at night?
Kind of.
More leg twitching at night.
That's my whole body.
Pull my foot flat, you know, kind of hyperextend it. Oh my gosh, it's so much worse. My foot will feel like it's on fire, literally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I get those. I don't. I've had nerve damage from waist down for 20 some years, but I get the horrible cramps in my feet at nighttime, like the balls of your feet, the arches of your feet. Mm-hmm. One thing I love about my wife being from Mexico is the, you know, the quote unquote the Mexican covers are so heavy they weigh me mm-hmm. down, so I don't spasm as much and flail my arms and so yeah. Yeah, I understand about the feet problem.
One thing we do for the leg twitching is just before bed, we do a series of leg stretches. Just to try and give those muscles and nerves a little elasticity before she goes to sleep.
Yeah, absolutely.
3 hours to get up in the morning and 2 hours to go to bed.
I feel you. I'm the same way. My husband pretty much rows me down with stuff called Sub-Zero. And that really helps with the shoulder pain and the leg pain. But what do you do to cope with the emotional aspects of this MSA? Because it really plays on our emotions really bad. Do you have someone that you talk to or some specific strategies for mental well-being?
My husband takes care of that.
We moved from Dallas to a small community of about 10,000 people just before COVID hit and just before then the MSA hit. That alone was of a tremendous help because we jettisoned the big city problems.
Yeah.
And in this community, I mean, we have a neighbor literally across the street where we're going. He's going to shovel the sidewalks or run an errand. They're literally going to run us to the airport. It's that kind of community where everybody takes care of each other. Lynn's yoga teacher comes by every now and then just to visit for an afternoon, you know, those kinds of things that just calm oneself. Matter of fact, I just
I cry a lot.
Yeah.
I hear you out of shape. David teases me and says I cry every episode.
Almost
every episode.
We don't get down on that because that's a release that's healthy.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's a reset.
But I'm also looking forward. I truly believe I'm going to get better. So I think that's the big deal.
You have to.
Yeah, having hope is a powerful motivator. The mind can do a lot to help heal the body. I've seen that over and over in my lifetime, even myself and others. It drives you. It continues your ability just to pick your feet up in the morning. So that is a very important part of anything. I mean, there's only so much physical that can be done for you. Part of the exercise is mental. I haven't told her yet. I just got a text from a friend who's dear to us who's going to stop by this afternoon yet.
Rod.
Mm-hmm. Rod.
High vibrational being.
For our listeners, what topics or discussions do you have that's valuable for raising awareness and understanding for the general public?
Just everybody you meet, pass the information on. Everything from diet to exercise to mindfulness. And tell these doctors to quit telling you you can't get better. It makes me so angry. Like on the MSA Connect website, I am appalled at how many doctors don't know what to tell their patients. It's appalling.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, I would rather have it straight and to the point, and really that's what my doctors have done.
Mm-hmm.
But they're telling you you're going to die, and I don't believe
it. Yeah, yeah. I agree. I mean, there's no date and time that's been written anywhere, no book, so.
Even my movement neurologist, he says, there's always a miracle that we can count on.
Exactly. Well, that's good advice. And I'm reading these books, which you guys should read now. Should I talk about it?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
It's The Power of Eight by Lynn McTaggart. It's about healing yourself, the power of intention to heal yourself, intentional healing. She puts together these groups of eight, and she's a scientist, and she measures the power that these groups do in intentional healing. She's healed people unbelievable when they get together and they focus intention on healing.
What's the name of it?
Power of Eight.
Lynn McTaggart is her name. And there's numerous books on those kinds of subjects, but at the end of the day, they're not a shot or a pill that's going to help you get well, but they are a mental exercise that is going to help you maintain, you know, in essence, your soul, your spirit, your ability to just keep going another day.
Your sanity, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We all need the dose of that, don't we?
Absolutely.
You must say or not.
And, you know, the other thing from the science side that I come from is that, don't discount. I mean, you're your doctor is not going to have heard of all these different things out in the field because they're not going to be a strictly MSA specialist. They don't exist. You are the MSA specialist. So I went out, I Googled, I researched, I went online for papers, you know, and that's how we, you know, decided that we're going to go with Movigliosis for our search for the cure. Does that mean we're going to find it? No, but we're down a path that doesn't have a known end to it. Mm-hmm. We accepted what we had been told. There was a definite end.
Yeah. To tell us about the, what you're getting into for treatments. You had mentioned one of the universities in, I believe, Mexico. Things. To tell us a bit about that.
Sure. After Lynn's diagnosis at Mayo, they were going to try and put her in a trial up there for cellular therapy, stem cell therapy. And she just missed being allowed into that. So we were given the long sad walk down the hall kind of speech. And by the time we were driving home, we decided we were going to do our own research. She was reading a Tony Robbins book, I was reading scientific papers, and we came across the name of a doctor in Chicago who couldn't help us, but he was a porthole to a doctor he knew that we hadn't heard about yet. And then, you know, I very rapidly read all I could about him. And his name is Gustavo Movigliosis. He's an Argentinian doctor out of Buenos Aires who literally Wake Forest had to headhunt 5 times to convince him to come to Wake Forest. He was just so busy. He's like, I just don't have the time. when China started a stem cell program, a national country program, they had him headed to start it. So currently at Wake Forest University, he's one of the main guys in the regenerative medicine program up there for the U.S. Army to help para and quadriplegics who are injured in combat recover function. And he's had a level of success there. As a result, he is allowed to cut loose on American soil in a laboratory where he's looking at MS, MSA, Lou Gehrig's disease, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right down the line. And he's finding these cellular therapies have effect upon it. Not always a cure, but a positive effect. He's at the point with MS.
Yeah.
Where he's developed a vaccine treatment that is about a course of 12 months where he has literally, quote unquote, cured 150 people.
Wow.
So, yay.
Yeah, that sounds a lot.
His daughter, who's also a doctor, is currently heading their clinic in Buenos Aires. And we had met her and him in Mexico at a clinic there, but it was once every 4 months, every 4 to 5 months for a cellular treatment, and then go home and do physical therapy on her own, things like that. It helped with Lynn's disease, abated a bit, maybe a few things that come back a little bit. Her neuropathy is a little less. She's gained a little feeling. I mean, she lost like being ticklish on her feet, where she's now having that back. It's a minor thing, but in a disease that never gives back, that's actually big.
Yes.
So now the idea is to go down to Buenos Aires for 3 months, where literally 5 days a week she'll receive physical therapy twice a day, and she'll receive 3 or 4, depending upon the timetable, cellular treatments, where it's a combination of her own cells using lymphocytes and stem cells coupled together in very large quantities.
Mm-hmm.
And they have shown success in other MSA patients, where they have either arrested the disease, and in one case, I believe he was a factory manager in Brazil, they caught him early, and literally, so far, he's in remission.
You hear there's no remission for MSA.
Yeah, and we do hear that all the time.
Yeah, we got to remember, most people probably don't know this, that you probably do for your reading, in your background, background first and reading. U.S. puts themselves behind on stem cells for a couple of decades when we had this political infighting about mm-hmm. cells mm-hmm. and stuff like that. Yeah. And the rest of the world was so far ahead of us.
Right.
So I know a few people that have some very bad diseases, neurodegenerative diseases. And the first thing they do is, you know, Qatar, Mexico, South America, you know, Central America.
Germany.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everywhere but here.
Yep, and
wonder what's up with that. Hello.
Well, I got three initials called FDA.
Big Pharma.
Yeah.
As we all know,
it's not a conspiracy theory. In the late 60s, Big Pharma bought into the FDA. And until you can control a person's stem cells, they're going to be hard to acquire here in America. I think we're turning a corner, but it's going to be a very slow turn. Yeah. In the meantime, yes, just about everybody, including the old Eastern Bloc in Europe, is way ahead of us on stem cell therapies.
So yeah. If you don't hear this podcast anymore, you know what happened.
I canceled.
You know what happened?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's really the same thing as it's a great parallel to like Elon Musk. I mean, how many decades did the space program go on over budget, underperforming, yada yada yada, and here comes Elon Musk with I can do it bigger, better, and cheaper. You know, and he does it. Like that's what we're starting to see in the medical community when it comes to these research and development for sure.
Yeah,
but we're under a thumb. We can only do so much. Well,
that can only last for so long.
Well, and this is where podcasts and the blogs and everything else that we use to share information comes in handy.
You wouldn't believe how much information I get off a podcast. Oh my god!
It's the uninformed populace.
Exactly.
I have a pretty growing YouTube channel, and I get most of my comments from Reddit. Reddit is the world's biggest, social media. Yeah. Anything to know about anybody, anywhere about MSA or whatever is like Reddit is absolutely everything. Gotta take it with a grain of salt, though.
That is bringing his followers over to us, so we're getting big fast. Really, we're growing. We're growing quickly.
We're getting there.
Thank you to all our listeners out there.
That's such a huge key is the information that's available out there. Absorb it, consume it, digest it, but redigest it. Think about it. Put it with other information you receive that you find from other sources to confirm the validity. And because, there is for every fact that's out there, there's, 100 pieces of misinformation too. And that's the challenge that we all face as we're going through this.
Well, when you heard of MSA, I mean, when MSA came up, did you not go and Google or YouTube, whatever, say Google, keep it simple, Google what does MSA look like? Like trying to see video. Like, first thing I did, I wanted to see what it looked like visually. And all I saw was old videos of like VCR quality. And that's what made me do my YouTube channel. Like I could do it bigger, better, badder. Like, let me show you what it, because I mean, I'm 44. So I'm still pretty capable of doing some things. That's like you said, redigest it, spit it out in another form so people can take it and run.
He's doing that because he's a newbie and he's youngsters.
That's the hardest thing, Lynn and Al. Let me tell you, that's the hardest thing. I don't care if someone calls me young and white, old, ugly hair.
It's a compliment, that.
Yeah. When I go into doctor's offices, visits, and they all say, you're doing too well. I got to remind them, I'm 44. I was 42 when I 42, 41, when I got the symptoms. Like, I was always athletic. I'm talking like male athletic, sports, football, jumping, breaking stuff, doing hunting, fishing, the stuff, we were used to doing. And I'm like doctors, like most people get MSA around the age of 60 when they're diagnosed rather. And you can't compare 60 to 42 year old. I mean, 99% you can't do that. So that's one thing I don't like is going in front of these neurologists. And they literally to my face say, you look too good to have MSA. I'm like,
what does it look like to you?
Yeah. I mean, am I supposed to just give my wheelchair and stop doing sports?
The root cause of your disease could be different from the root cause. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
45 when I started having samples.
Yeah. Easy to say test for heavy metals. Man, they tested me for every heavy metal. I had to get the periodic table of elements to see which ones they're testing for this week,
Well, you're lucky. Yeah.
She's had the heavy metal tests, everything else. Matter of fact,
I had the Bayer.
Our first trip to Mexico, speaking of heavy metals,
Yeah, really.
The clinic there was treating a late 20s Canadian Army captain, force retired, for heavy metals because he was around all these military bases and acquired, mm-hmm. I think, 13 heavy metals in near lethal doses.
Wow.
Using an intravenous Weber laser. And they were curing him. It was removing the metals, breaking it up, and they were passing through his body.
Wow. Oh, wow. That's awesome. So,
as we talk about sharing, there's a tidbit of information, so why not know?
Well, heavy metals I got in my body are vodka and bourbon. So, yes, I still drink.
Very interesting. It's very interesting. He medicates himself.
So, I got a question. Lynn, how was your onset of symptoms? Because the biggest difference, the way they distinguish MSA from any other neurological disorder, degenerative neurological disorder, is the onset. The onset is everything, how it starts. How did your, like mine started when I was walking in the Best Buy and my 2 feet, I was walking through the water on the beach. They just were dragging a little bit. And I ignored that for probably about 8 months, and both my hands at the same time. But like I couldn't type and do a lot of things anymore. So that's what made me actually go to a rheumatologist and say, hey, what's wrong with my hands? Forget about my feet, because I'm ignoring my feet. But they say the onset of symptoms is everything. How was the onset of your symptoms when it first started?
I was walking to work, and I felt this ping in the back of my head. I got to work, and I got diarrhea, and then I started getting dizzy. So I came home for 2 weeks. And I went to physical therapy, and the physical therapy actually cured the vertigo or the dizziness. But I started, that was the onset. I guess
the brain was thing gone. Was like a little sharp shooting zap.
Yeah.
In the back of the head?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I about killed my family in my SUV because that's when I knew something was serious. I the back off center left. Where the cerebrum
was.
It was the worst thing on this guy's given earth, and I about killed my family. Like for a guy to take his hands off the wheel. Right? Yeah, I've been tased before. Let's not talk about that. It was worse than that. It was worse than the taser. I can tell you, it was unbelievable. And my doctor, like, all the nerve pain I have in my body, the random nerve pain shooting. Not, spasms is one thing, but just a random nerve shocking. You know, for 3 seconds, no more, no less. They tell me that's the byproduct of the neurons in the putamen, so they're breaking down.
Yeah, I believe that.
The effects of it.
Well, if that's the case, then I started having those zaps when I was like 38.
Yeah. It comes up early. Like I used to always have restless legs in my 40s. And I don't know what else. There are early signs. Incontinence was starting to happen in my 50s. And I never knew that the bladder is tied to the brain.
Autonomic, yeah, absolutely it is.
Yeah, I didn't know that. But everything that happens to the bladder has to do with the brain.
Do you have a catheter?
I don't. I intermittent catheter. Or Alan does it. Every 2 hours.
Depends on fluid.
You have to train your, that's another thing you're doing, you're training your bladder for yourself.
They won't give me a catheter because they say there's too much infection involved. So.
Too much risk of infection. And we still have hope that with the nominal bladder control she has, that there could be some regaining of function there. So we're also avoiding as long as there is some control.
Yeah. Daisy, who was the lady a couple of episodes ago that she had a significant and long history of disorders, I'll just put it that way.
Oh, Carrie?
Yeah, and she went down and got a huge
episode
thing of stem cells, which practically wiped that out for her, got her back to practically normal.
And then
MSA hit, and she, you know, she didn't go down and try it again.
Episode 9. Her name is Carrie.
Mm. On our podcast, yeah, she because that's the one thing about stem cells is it's so hard to get to the brain, but for the rest of the body, you know, if you have some issues or symptoms, or whatever, they generally work pretty good.
Well,
I'm sorry, I did intermittent catheter before, and I had kept a UTI from January to June by doing that. So I had to go with a full catheter, suprapubic catheter.
Okay.
Oh, do you have a...
One thing we've done to help with UTIs is we'll rinse after cathing with chamomile tea. It's a natural astringent that doesn't irritate the area. In addition to that, she uses a tincture of cranberry twice a day that also is just a natural infection fighter.
Yeah, I took cranberry vitamins, but still didn't help me. Because I've had the suprapubic catheter now since June.
You doing okay with it?
Yeah, the first one I didn't. The first one almost killed me. I had the surgery in January. In February, the nurse went to change the catheter to miss my bladder.
Oh.
So I went septic.
Yeah.
Wow.
But I got over that and I got another catheter because I went back with indwelling and I couldn't stand that. So.
Mm-mm-mm. Lynn, we have one serious question for you. You gotta be honest. No, can't smudge this one, okay? If you had to rate your husband Al on a scale of 1 to 10, how good is his duties as being a caregiver for you?
10+.
Good Al.
But she has no experience in this area, so
I wouldn't be happy if he wasn't taking care of me.
Yeah.
That's great, Al. You're wonderful.
That is.
You're really good for taking care of her.
And to have somebody that's knowledgeable. I mean, I'm gonna go on a limb here and say the amount of wisdom that Al has. Exactly. It's not knowledge, but wisdom definitely is.
It's weird. It's uncanny how much he knows.
Yeah.
It's good to have you have a caregiver that much knowledge that really is.
I used to say he's from another planet. So much.
No, I think she's convinced of it. I grew up, you know, the typical nerd and the smart crowd kind of thing, and just keeping up with the Joneses, maybe keep up with the Joneses.
Yeah. They're real smart up here.
It's, you can't overeducate yourself on a subject like this.
No.
And it's continuous, it's constant, because everything I'm seeing makes me feel we're at the cusp of something new. Now, unfortunately, the three of us sitting here, maybe, probably me too, may not be around to see it, but we're close. We're very close. And sometimes these little nudges come on slowly or just like a bolt of lightning. So that's one of the reasons that we haven't resigned ourselves to this disease.
And the books I read, like self-healing, that's another avenue. Tell them about the power of eight.
Well, I don't know. I haven't read it here, but that's where we talk about the mental component of the disease.
Mm-hmm.
Keep yourself strong and motivated and grounded at the same time, realizing you are dealing with a difficult situation.
Yeah.
But being as much as at peace and comfort with yourself as you can be, just an incredibly strong motivator to keep going forward on the most difficult of days. But that's where we play off each other, because we're never both on at the same time for we were happy.
Yeah, that's true. You gotta have somebody to bounce things off of.
Well, you have really given us a lot of knowledge today. And
thank you.
Well, that's where Lynn comes in sometimes with a question, why me? And my answer to her is, well,
why not me?
Yeah, first, why not? Why is it dang special? But also, as we go through this journey and we have opportunities like this to share, that's why us.
Yeah.
I agree wholeheartedly. With that said, are there any, always, I love this question that we ask for the most part. Are there any misconceptions about MSA, you know, in your guys' journey through the diagnostic and treatments and things, any misconceptions or wanting to set the record straight for anything about MSA that you discovered in your journey?
Every day is different.
Yeah, every MSA patient is different. Every day you enter is different. This is not a cookie cutter disease by any means. So a doctor can look at you and say you need to do X, Y, and Z to maintain yourself to the bitter end. The end doesn't have to be bitter in the first place, because we don't know if it's an end for sure. True. Just because there's a poor track record. We wrote off 100% of pancreatic cancer patients just a decade ago. Now we don't.
Yeah.
So we've come a long ways there. So continue to learn, continue to explore.
Tell me about your cure for prostate cancer.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when I was 50, you're what now, 42, 44, you said?
44.
44, yeah. I mean, the wheels of my bus fell off when I hit 50. And that was the year that's like, oh, everything hurt a little more doing it and et cetera. But I was also diagnosed with a fast aggressive prostate cancer. And I was told, here's your options of robotic surgery or, you know, radiation therapy. But again, like I did with Lynn, it taught me to do the research. I did research and I came across the procedure called HIFU, high intensity focused ultrasound.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just so happened the guy across the hall from the robotic surgeon was doing it.
They use that for essential tremors also in the brain.
Okay.
Very similar. It's called DBS, deep brain stimulation. Practically the same thing. Yeah.
Okay. And yeah, they went in and mapped my prostate out where the cancer was. And each area the size of a grain of rice, they cooked to about 160 degrees. That deceased tissue sloughed off. I have my prostate. I'm in a healthy state. And, you know, this is 10 years later.
Wow. Yeah, we were at the Thanksgiving dinner. We had this track of time, so not working anymore, a week or two ago. and Jorge, one of our my wife's uncle, they were talking about, you know, one of the family relatives that has pancreatic cancer in Mexico and how hard it is for treatment. Anyway, they shrank it down phenomenally. But he said, you know, there's this other lady that had pancreatic cancer, and they actually, I didn't know this, but they actually took the pancreas out.
Huh.
So the only thing the pancreas does at that stage is insulin.
Mm-hmm.
So one way to get the cancer from pancreas, if as long as it doesn't spread anything else, take the pancreas, but you automatically become a diabetic that needs insulin shots every day. But that's something that I've never heard of in the last, like you said, decades, you know.
Yeah.
On the cusp. And to that point, you know, Michael J. Fox Foundation with Parkinson's, they have them and another company, they're running parallel, but they have a test now just not for Parkinson's. They have a test of 90-something% plus accuracy for misfolding alpha-synuclein protein like MSA and Parkinson's has. And so that's why I had one of my YouTube videos. I said, you know, all this money we have for testing, do we have this misfolding protein? All that money can now be diverted to the cure, you know, other treatments for it. So yeah, when you talk about being on the cusp of it, you are absolutely 100% hitting the nail on the head.
Well, and isn't it sad in a way, like we look at COVID, when the labs of the world united and focused on a single problem, the progress they made. It took somebody with not infinite, but great resources like Michael J. Fox to do a lot for Parkinson's, which MSA will greatly benefit from as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right to eight. Is that what you said in that book is?
The power of eight.
The power of eight.
Mm-hmm.
You can find it on Amazon and other places.
Mm-hmm. You, Lynn, you going to write a book?
My energy healer told me that's what I should do. I'm not sure.
Well, her sister-in-law is a bit of a writer, so who knows?
do you do any canning or jarring at home?
I can't do anything.
Well, you can put them in the can and then Al can close it for you.
I've written two books and I donate my proceeds to MSA, Defeat MSA.
What?
I wrote two books and I donate some of the proceeds to Defeat MSA.
Oh,
lovely.
Yeah, I donate my time and energy on YouTube and podcasts.
Yeah. He's got a lot of followers on there, so he's really getting
there.
A lot of listeners.
I've got 1,300 followers so far, so subscribers doing pretty good. I mean, hey, I started sharing around the world with Reddit and stuff, and now I got Russians, Ukrainians, Spaniards, Australians. I got every country you could think of is, yeah, I get more questions in Russian than I do in English anymore. So
it's interesting.
Yeah, well,
bring a lot over to us, David.
It's the people who don't have access to ask those questions.
Yeah, well, and we're finding the sharing of information is really just a burgeoning thing with MSA.
Yeah.
And one of the groups that we're in, we were talking with a person about your age out of Germany, and we were talking about the cellular therapies that we're pursuing, and he decided to give them a call, you know, that kind of thing. So as we share information, we spread knowledge, we spread the possibilities of hope.
This guy messaged me on Reddit, and he is from very far north Canada, like go to Arctic Circle, and no resources for MSA, no nothing. He's 8 hours away from any facility, mm-hmm. and he had no clue. And I talked with Phil, at an MSA group, and he got me. He said, "Hey, give him this information." So he calls the only MSA group in Canada, and now he's getting support just by seeing my video. I'm not saying thanks to me. I'm just saying just. You know, we keep regurgitating things like podcasts mm-hmm. and books and YouTube mm-hmm. videos.
Yeah, we keep going forward.
Helping
sharing
people,
is
yeah.
caring. Isn't that what they say? Sharing is caring.
Absolutely. And well, I mean, for us, in our MSA journey, when we got to the Mayo Clinic and started the process, we heard Parkinson's, Parkinson's, Parkinson's. Then yeah. one somebody dropped the word MSA, and I was like, well, what the devil is that? Never heard of it.
Yeah. My daughter said, I think you have MSA. I said, well, can you cure me? You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I get asked all the time, you know, I haven't seen Lynn, what's going on with her? And I say, well, it's MSA. And they always get the what's that? And they say, well, if you take MS and Parkinson's, they got together and had a very angry baby. That's it.
That's a good way to describe it. They're like that.
That's true. That's true.
MS?
Yeah. No, it's not MS. Yeah, so I tell them, I say it's Parkinson's, but it has autonomic failure. And they're like, what's autonomic? So it's like, you know, whatever you say is just going to throw people off. But
I'd say multiple system atrophy now.
Yeah, yeah. You think 5 to 7 years, you know. They get to point. Matter of fact, I was in Detroit for the clinical trials, and I got blessed by 3 people in the waiting room. Like,
that's what happened to me.
They asked me what MSA was. I described it, and I got people just praying for me in the middle of nowhere. I thought it was the greatest thing ever.
Look at Power Bay Crew. Yeah.
That's well, what happened to me when I went to Detroit.
You got prayed for also?
Yes.
Some very religious and outgoing individuals in Detroit, that's for sure.
Well, we missed out. We didn't get prayed over there.
we don't get that in Chicago over here.
A lady with a pink bonnet on her head.
Good.
Well, I'd like to say thank you for you two for coming on the show and helping spread a lot of information and help some more MSA patients, caregivers, and all of us MSA crusaders.
Is there anything else you'd like to say, Lynn or Al, before we conclude?
No. Just takes one.
Yep, it just takes one. We thank you for the opportunity. We do appreciate it very much.
Oh, we thank you for the opportunity to learn so much, because you've been an awesome dictionary or encyclopedia today for us.
Well, thank if you, anybody guys. Wants to contact us, they can. I have lots more information.
Yep, she's on MSA Coalition, et cetera, et cetera. So.
Let's ask you, if somebody wanted to contact her or yourselves, how could they do that?
You're on MSA Coalition. Which other one, please?
I'm on David's YouTube channel.
Yep. And it's just under Lynn Bilby.
Okay.
Yeah. They can contact me through MSA Connect.
Yeah.
MSA Connect.
Yep. I like it.
Well, thanks again, guys. And keep in touch with us.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll do. Thank you for this opportunity.
Our pleasure.
Thank you.